There is a relative truth to this world. Every living being loves their life. The rat, which may get in your attic, loves its family, loves its babies, loves its life, wants to survive. That's why it goes to your attic. It's nice and cozy there. Every living being loves their life. Even the ants which come in the house love their life, their colony. They want to survive. They want to become all that they can be in this world. Yet life is a struggle. And in that struggle, life dies and life is born again. Pain occurs. And the cow in the slaughterhouse, in the line to be slaughtered, experiences great fear and great pain. The more complex the life form, the more pain. For the carrot, there is also some pain in ending its natural cycle, but it's very small compared to the cow, terrified to die, or a human being terrified to die. So if you want to lead a life to cause the least amount of suffering to other beings, think of the ways that you are in this world. Do you practice loving kindness towards all beings? Do you take care of the plants and the animals and make certain that they are cared for well? Have you loved a non-human? Notice their need for life is much the same as yours. Their need to be cared for, to be loved. If you have ever had non-human forms that you have loved, you know that just as there was prejudice against people of a particular color, people of a particular race, and people thought of them as something different than themselves, and therefore they could treat them as they would not want to be treated. So people think of animals. They're different. So you can treat them badly. But the reality is that mammals have a great deal of sensitivity and suffer emotionally and physically when their lives are difficult, just as humans do. If it is a fish, the suffering is less because the form is less developed, the mind is less developed. If it is a carrot, the suffering is far less because the mind is less developed. The nature is simpler. So to follow ahimsa, one must find compassion for all beings, including the ants and the rats, and find ways to be as compassionate as possible. Yet the rats cannot live in your house with you. It doesn't work well. So you must remove them. And the ants will eat your food. And so there is a struggle between whose food is whose. And so you must stake out your territory. This is my food, not your food. So there is survival in this physical world, and there is competition for survival. And that competition is sometimes difficult to life. And that is part of the cycle of life. Yet to consciously and intentionally do harm to another being when it is not necessary to life. Is to cause pain in the world. Suffering in the world. Particularly if you know that that being is going to be abused in its treatment to provide for you, as happens in the factory farms and the slaughterhouses. So these are not black and white. These are relative. You stake out your food in your home and your cave, your home, and you make rules. And you certain animals are not allowed because they'll compete for your food. So you create an environment where you may take life, or at least set boundaries that will make life go from that place that they would enjoy. So no matter what you do in life, you are violating non-injury, ahimsa, to some degree. It is a matter of degree. It is a matter of intention. And so the answer is not so simple. Also, that is from the point of view of ahimsa. And I would recommend for anyone who has a spiritual nature to be sensitive to the feelings and experiences of other living beings. Do not practice prejudice. But there is relativity because you also need to survive in this world. And so you follow to the best of your ability these precepts of ahimsa. Do the least harm. But there are certain boundaries that you must maintain for your own life. That is from ahimsa regarding food. But from the point of view of the nature of the food and its impact on you, if you live in a warm climate or you have a warm house, the meat is not beneficial to the body. It slows the digestion and creates toxins in the body, which over time influence the body to dis-ease. There are many studies now that show that people who do not eat meat live longer, because there is more health in the vegetables in terms of the nutrients and micronutrients that bring the body to survival. And because many of the animals, even the fish, all animals, they eat at this point the many grains and so on that are themselves filled with cancerous chemicals. And so those chemicals go down to the meat, and you are ingesting these cancer-causing chemicals and so on, and increasing them in your own body. So in general, both to the aspect of ahimsa and the aspects of health, this is the eating of meat is not beneficial. Now, there are some who think that for certain blood types or for certain diseases, it becomes beneficial. This is the realm of doctors. They may argue these points. Some may say yes, some may say no. Research is what you need to look at. Is there actual research that will prove this point? And is it worth the violation of ahimsa? So the answer is not black and white. The answer is one that has factors to consider. In general, meat is not healthy for your body. And the meat of the most animals is bad for body and bad for mind. But it is not entirely black and white. So it is, can be relative. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Regarding the meat of the deer, if the animal eats the pure, healthy grasses and leads a very healthy life, and its mind is subtle and sweet, and its own existence is sattvic, then the meat in that animal will reflect that mental place, and so the meat will be sattvic. But the animal loves its life. And to take the life of such a sweet being is a hard thing. In cultures where there has been no choice but to survive in such a way, many of those cultures gave reverence to the animals whom they killed, acknowledged the spirits that were sacrificed for them, and never wasted a single part, knowing that that would be against nature. If you kill the rats in your attic or the ants in your house, you must acknowledge and give reverence to their sacrifice for you.
So is it okay to eat fish?
Fish is a fish is a lower on the life form, so the pain and suffering of the fish is less than that of a mammal. But it is still, if you see the fish, when you catch the fish and it flaps out of the water, it is suffering. And so the fish is better, in that the relative degree of suffering is far less than the cow in the slaughterhouse, whose suffering is real and who that fear is going into the body. You are eating that. The fish is a less mental and so less pain, but still there is pain. And when you take the fish, you take that. Plus the fish has, in these days, exposure to all of the toxins that are in the waters, and the waters are not clean these days. So it is not as beneficial because of that. And because there is still a violation of ahimsa, but it is relative. In the relative realm, it is better than you eat the cow. But in the realm of health, there are many toxins in the waters. And it may not be the best food because of this. And
so why don't we eat the onion, garlic, and mushrooms? What is the reason behind that?
Very good. They are considered rajasic and tamasic. The mushroom grows on the dead life. It grows in the forest, in the rotting, in the dark, in the rotting material of the forest. So its life cycle is not compatible with that of a human being. Human being's life cycle is made from the sun. When you pick the fruit from the tree, it is filled with the prana of the sun, and you eat it. It's sweet. It's filled with the prana from the sun. You not only eat the sweet fruit, but you eat this prana from the sun. When you eat the mushroom, it is growing in the dark, on the decay. Its pranic force is of a different nature. When you eat the mushroom, that is the problem. When you eat the, and that is also, many mushrooms are poisonous to one degree or another, or affect the mind. But those that can be eaten by human beings have the same antithetical nature. When you eat the onion and the garlic, both stimulate the nervous system and they create thoughts in the mind. So they stimulate the digestive system. You will notice when you take the garlic and the onion, there's a stimulation to the digestion. But there's a stimulation then to the nervous system. And there is the creation of thoughts in the mind. So they are bad for sadhana because they agitate the mind. And the garlic is said to even have some toxicity to the brain. Now, this is only slight and will only affect certain people. But in fact, it is agitating to the mind. So they are, generally speaking, avoided because of these things. So they are rajasic, they increase the agitation in the mind. They are tamasic in that they are bad for the body and bad for the mind. But medicinally, for example, garlic has many good medicinal uses. Many medicines are tamasic, and yet they are taken as medicine because they are to cure a certain thing, but they themselves are not for common eating. They are not a food, they are a medicine.
So garlic purifies the blood.
Yes. So in certain medicinal points, for those who have the need for certain properties, then as a medicine it is taken, but it is not good for the mind and for your meditation.